Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, let's dive right in. Tell me if you would like to sign up for this level of compensation. This is total compensation for 1 year. Let's see. I'm just going to tell you numbers first, and then I'll tell you some names. $3.775 million, $1.5 million, $1.4 million, a cool million. $1,053,000 to be exact. $1,018,000, $985,000. These are yearly earnings for various people. $751,000, $696,000, $580,000, $579,000, $578,000. These are individuals making this kind of money. $535,000, $496,000, $469,000, $417,000, $394,000. Down near the list. Boy, that's tough. $375,000 in 1 year. How about that? You'll be up for that compensation. $371,000 in a year. $335,000, $309,000. Number 60 on this particular list coming in at a, well, this is almost embarrassing. $302,481 in 1 year. That would be for Mark Hanlon, who happens to be the senior vice president of Compassion International. $302,000. Who's up at the top of that list? Let me just spell it out for you. $3,775,570 in 2017 paid to David Cerullo, the president of the Inspiration Network. Now, before you go all ballistic on that and start slamming the Inspiration Network, how about Jay Sekulow, the founder of American Center for Law and Justice, one of Trump's attorneys? I have tremendous respect for Jay. I don't know how to handle this information. In 2017, he made $1.4 million. His wife made $1,053,432. She was a spokesperson for ACLJ. His brother, Gary, also at ACLJ, in the same year, made just shy of $1 million, $985,847. So between those three Sekulows, that's about $3.4 million from their ministry in 1 year. What do you think about that? How do you deal with those numbers? Good, bad, none of your business? Steve, get off your high horse. Holy cow, what are you kidding me? Or do you think this is a problem? Well, this is information coming off of a recent article that my good friend Warren Cole Smith at Ministry Watch published. 50 highly paid Christian ministry executives. One of the reasons Ministry Watch exists, to kind of pay attention to this kind of stuff. Warren, Happy New Year, brother. Thanks for calling in. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thank you. I'm sorry we couldn't put your salary on there, but there wasn't enough zeros in our chart.
You know, right, right.
Uh-huh. Allow us to do that. So,
yeah, because apparently I'm on the wrong. Apparently I'm on the wrong side of the microphone. So we'll leave that one well and alone. So before we kind of dive into these individual numbers and what it does and does not mean, why does Ministry Watch, tell us a little bit about Ministry Watch, and why would you compile a list that's so kind of explosive like this one?
Yeah, well, Ministry Watch is an organization that keeps an eye on Christian ministries. I mean, Ministry Watch, that's what we do. And, of course, one of the things that I want to emphasize, Steve, is that there are a lot of great ministries doing a lot of great work, and many of the leaders of those ministries are not making these kinds of salaries. They're making very modest incomes, living very sacrificially, and doing nonetheless great work for the kingdom. And I also want to emphasize something that you just said, that Jay Sekulow and others on this list may be doing great work, but they're also making a whole lot of money. And we think at Ministry Watch that donors to these ministries need to know how the money is being used within those ministries. If you're a publicly traded company, the CEOs and all of the senior executives in those publicly traded companies have their salaries, their annual salaries are listed in the filing documents that those publicly traded companies have to file every year with the federal government. And so we think that it is appropriate for donors and the general public to know how much money these senior executives are making. And there's one other reason that I just want to mention very briefly. Not only is it for the sake of the donor, but I also think it's for the sake of the church as well. You know, Steve, I read a Gallup survey just a couple of days ago that said that 30 years ago, 68% of Americans believed that organized religion, that the church was either good or very good for the culture, that they had a, that they had high confidence in the integrity of those organizations. That number today is 38%. It has gone from 68% to 38% in the last 30 years. It's not been 1 year where there was just this big precipitous decline, but gradually over time, the American people have lost confidence in the integrity of church leaders, and we think that this kind of information, making it public, will help restore that credibility. We'll tell the world that, you know, we're not above policing our own, and hopefully, maybe, some of these folks will see this list and say, I don't want to be on this list anymore and do something about it.
Yeah, that's a great point. And so let me add two questions. How do you find out this information? Because I think it's important for people to understand that this is actually accessible publicly. And then in the third paragraph of your article, Warren, you talked about that there's a growing trend among Christian ministries to identify as churches, which allows them to withhold their Form 990. So how do you get this information and then touch on that?
Yeah, you mentioned very briefly, and I'll expand just a little bit how we get that information, and that is that every nonprofit organization in this country, technically they're called tax-exempt organizations because they don't have to pay many forms of taxes that for-profit corporations do, have to fill out a Form 990 and submit that to the Internal Revenue Service. It looks like a tax form that all of us have to figure, that all of us have to fill out each year. But this Form 990 includes revenue, it includes expenses, it includes the names and the amount that you pay to your largest contractors, and it also includes a list of board members and senior executives and how much they make. Those Form 990s are available to the public. Part of the, if you will, cost of being a tax-exempt organization is that you have to fill out these forms and make them available to the public. It's kind of the deal that we make with nonprofits, and this has been the case for many, many decades in this country. However, if you're a church, you do not have to make your Form 990 available to the public. So increasingly, Christian ministries, ministries that are not what we, Steve, would really historically have called churches. They don't marry people. They don't bury people. They don't meet on Sunday morning for worship. They don't do baptisms or communion or, you know, any of the kinds of things that you would think of that churches do, are increasingly saying that they are churches so that they don't have to disclose their 990s to the public. Historically, that's only been done by the bad guys, by the guys like Benny Hinn.
Right, yeah, they're Waller hiding it. Right, that's the concern. But, I'm going to put you on hold, Warren. We're up against a break. I'm going to put you on hold. We're talking to Warren Cole Smith from Ministry Watch, an incredible organization that is doing great work to help us pay attention to our own camp, ministrywatch.com, 50 highly paid Christian ministries. Who's on here, who isn't, and why? This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
So what are we waiting for?
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, getting into some people's business today. 50 highly paid Christian ministry executives, a pretty impressive list. You start at the top, number one, David Cerullo, the president of the Inspiration Networks, made a, I don't know how you survive on this, $3.7 million in a year. His general counsel at the Inspiration Networks made just behind him $1.5 million, number two on this particular list. Jay Sekulow, ACLJ, $1.4 million. He's number three. Number five, his wife, Kim Sekulow, spokesperson for ACLJ. Pretty good work if you can get it. $1 million. Jerry Falwell at Liberty University, $1 million. Gary Sekulow, Jay Sekulow's brother, ACLJ, $985,000. How about Samaritan's Purse? Franklin Graham, $696,000. How about K-Love? K-Love does their big giving program every year, right? Their giving week, whatever that's called. I don't remember. Would it bug you to know that the CEO of K-Love, Michael Kovac, in 2017 made $580,000 during Pledge Week? Does that bug you? Should it? That's a good question. The president of World Vision, $534,000. Speaking of that, Compassion International, Santiago Mulato, the CEO of Compassion International in 2018. Well, I'm not feeling too much compassion about his earnings, making $417,314 in 1 year. Not too bad. Pretty good work if you can get it. And CEO Robin Mahfood for Food for the Poor, $469,000. Pretty interesting topic and a great article. 50 highly paid Christian ministry executives by my friend Warren Cole Smith at Ministry Watch. And Warren joins us by phone today. So what do we do with this information? You kind of kicked off that, Warren. And I think most people are probably really surprised to hear these numbers. Should they be? Is this wrong? If a ministry's bringing in $100 million a year and the leader of that ministry makes $800,000 a year, why is that necessarily wrong? So help us understand this. How do we look at this theologically in a way that glorifies God?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great question. First of all, let me just say that I don't think there's anything wrong with making a lot of money. I think that if you're a gifted and talented person and, the workman is worthy of his hire, the Bible teaches. So for people to make a lot of money is not a problem. This is not a question of jealousy or envy. It is a matter of transparency and disclosure, Steve. You know, the Bible is all about truth and light. And that goes for the way we deal with each other as well. There's an old saying in my world, the journalism world, that sunlight is the best disinfectant. Yeah. The other side of that coin is that, all kinds of bad things grow in darkness. And so what we're trying to do at Ministry Watch is just to make this information known, make it available, let people take a look at it. So that's number one. I'm not saying that high salaries are good and low salaries, or high salaries are bad and low salaries are good. I'm simply saying that if you're a donor, you have the right to this information. You
sure.
should know what it is, and you should make your giving decisions according to that. Number two is that sometimes you have to pay big money to get big talent, that there are organizations that are large and complex that have thousands or even tens of thousands of employees. We mentioned World Vision and Compassion International and Samaritan's Purse. The Compassion and World Vision are going to go over $1 billion in revenue this year.
Wow.
Samaritan's Purse is going to be in the many hundreds of millions of dollars. It takes real expertise to run these organizations, and those folks should be paid what they are worth. But again, I would just argue that the donors to those organizations should know what their leaders are paying. The other thing that I would mention here, if I could just real briefly,
Steve, sure.
is that I think it's important to note that there are lots of folks that are not on this list because we can't find out what their compensation is.
Right, right.
Those are the ones that I would recommend to people. Don't give money to those organizations. If they are, there's an old saying in the journalism world that if somebody doesn't have something to hide, then they wouldn't be hiding. And these organizations that are trying to hide their financial statements or hide their compensation or their senior executives, I think it's a very appropriate question to ask, why are you hiding? If you've got nothing to hide, why are you hiding? And there are some others on this list, like, and I'll just mention Franklin Graham as an example. We were able to get the 990s for Samaritan's Purse, and that's why we were able to report that Franklin Graham makes $696,000. But the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, which he is also the president of, is one of those organizations that does not disclose its 990s any longer.
Right.
So we don't know how much he makes from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Franklin Graham could, in fact, be making much more than the $700,000 that we've reported.
Do you think, Warren, that we should look at parachurch ministries like all of these differently than we look at churches? Should we pay attention? Should we be asking at our own church, hey, just curious how much the pastor makes? Or are these two kind of separate silos and we should keep them separate?
No, I don't think they're separate silos. I think that they are in this sense, that the church usually has a board, deacons, elders, many churches, including the church I go to, the entire congregation knows what our budget is. We have to vote on it annually. We have to vote on our budget as a church annually. And so I do think that it's different in the sense that the vast majority of local churches, the donors are the members of that local church. It's pretty unlikely, Steve, as generous a guy as you are, that you're just going to give money to my church or I'm going to give money to your church. We give money to our local churches. So I do think it is appropriate for the local churches to kind of keep that, that decision-making process and that disclosure process local. The problem that we've run into in the last 30 or 40 years in the evangelical church is that local churches are no longer have purely local ministries. You
right.
look, for example, at Rick Warren's church, Saddleback Church out in California. He's got a nationwide radio ministry. David Jeremiah is the same way. A lot of these local pastors now have national ministries. And in my view, those folks should be required to disclose their financial information in ways that are broader than just the local church body.
Yeah, and I think that's something that, again, you mentioned this several times, and I appreciate it. If you're a donor and you're giving to these organizations and you plow some money into Samaritan's Purse every year, a massive organization, and if you're going to go out on the street and hire somebody to run a $300 million organization, you're not going to be able to hire anybody good for $150,000. You're just not. So the question is, it always comes back to, and we're not supposed to have even the appearance of evil. We're supposed to be above reproach. And so I think there's generally a line in the sand for all of us where you sit there and go, okay, if you find out your pastor at a church of 900 is making $100,000, some people are going to go, that seems like, and other people are going to go, I don't have a problem with that. They're very busy. They give a lot to it. So I think we have to be careful, Warren, and I wanted to ask you, I think we have to be careful to know about our own covetousness, and we have to be careful that we're not throwing people under the bus and not being realistic about these things.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, you know, again, from our point of view at Ministry Watch, Steve, is that we're not saying that one answer is the right answer and one answer is the wrong answer
right,
here.
Exactly.
We're saying that transparency and disclosure of these numbers is important. It will allow people that are giving money to those ministries to have a level of confidence in those ministries. And, you know, I mentioned, Steve, publicly traded companies earlier in our conversation, and if I could just make one other point about that. The reason that one of the reasons that the United States of America has the strongest, most vibrant economy in the world is because we have confidence in our public financial markets. That we know that the companies listed on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ are companies that have to disclose information to the public. And that increases the amount of money that people are willing to invest in those markets, not decreases. And I think the same thing will happen with the church and
great
with parachurch ministries as well.
Warren Colt-Smith with Ministry Watch. What a great article. What a great topic and an important one. MinistryWatch.com. Always appreciate you, brother. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be with you.
Talk to you later. Okay, friends, I'm going to keep up the conversation when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, kind of poking our fingers into the hornet's nest a little bit today, perhaps, just kind of bouncing off. And I want to open up the phones to you. If you were listening to the first half of the show, we were talking to Warren Colt-Smith, who's now the head over at Ministry Watch, a great ministry that just keeps an eye, empowering donors to Christian ministry. So they keep an eye on who's doing what, how much they're spending, executive compensation, all that kind of stuff, so that we can make good decisions. You want to give your money and your hard-earned money, money that you're responsible for in the Lord's eyes, to organizations that are making good decisions with the money. They're spending it wisely. If 22% of their income goes to their actual mission and 78% goes to compensating people, obviously that's a problem. So that kind of information is something that we all need to pay attention to. But I think rarely do we ask these questions. So Ministry Watch put this list out. Ministry Watch list 50 highly paid Christian ministry executives. Some big, big numbers in here. So my question for you is, do you have a problem with that? How do you look at that? If somebody like Franklin Graham running Samaritan's Purse, which will probably have $200 million in income this year, paying him $700,000 a year, do you have a problem with that? What about pastors? Do you have a problem with a pastor making $100,000 a year? So this is from salary.com. The average pastor salary in the United States is $96,000 as of December 26, 2019, but the range typically falls between $79,000 and $109,000. Salary ranges can vary widely depending on many important factors, including education, yada, yada, yada. And the average church in America is still about 94 people. Okay? So you've got some pastors doing just fine, but you have a whole lot of pastors in small churches that are bivocational. They got to have another job. Listen, I can't provide for my family with last year will be the first year we file a 990 that includes compensation for me personally with this radio ministry. Last year was the first year I took a paycheck, a regular payroll throughout the year, which my board decided on. But I could not cover all the expenses of having a family and a house and cars and college and stuff like that for my wife and I and our four kids. Our oldest is out of the house now, but the other three are still dependents. With that salary I get from this ministry, from the radio ministry, so I teach as well. I have multiple sources of income because I have to. Now, I'm blessed because I love doing all the things that I do. But there's not one thing that pays me enough that can support the family. So there's that end of it. But are you worried about what your pastor makes? Or what do you think about ministry leaders making big money? Do you have a problem with that? So that's my question for you. 866-348 7884, especially if you've been listening to the first half and you're hearing some of these big numbers. How does that affect you? If you knew, if you're a K-Love listener and a K-Love giver, and they've got their, you know, they do their big, I don't know if it's once or twice a year, they big do their pledge drive, and you all of a sudden you know that the K-Love CEO, trying to find his number in here, it's a pretty nice number. Let's see, the K-Love CEO is making, that's Michael Novak, the CEO. In 2017, his total compensation was $580,628. So is that going to affect you if you're a K-Love listener and a K-Love giver? To know that the CEO of K-Love makes $580,000, is that a little, that seems a little high, Steve. I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. Does it matter to you how much the leaders of ministries and churches make? Or do you feel like that's none of your business? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Really, I'm curious as to how you're reacting to this information. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I was looking at an article. Not to beat up on Jay Sekulow and the American Center for Law and Justice. I've followed Jay Sekulow for years. Brilliant attorney, Messianic Jew. Now he's one of Trump's top attorneys. Man, they do some incredible work, not just in America, but around the world on religious freedom and stuff. They were involved with getting the pastor free in Iran. I can't remember his name. It was a couple of years ago. They do great things. But there was some digging that was done by the Washington Post. And don't throw it out the window just because it's the Washington Post. All this stuff is... You can get all this information from 990s. This isn't hidden information. You can go get it if you want it. So in 5 years, from 2011 to 2015, ACLJ brought in $229 million in donations, of which $5.5 million over those 5 years went to the Sekulow family members, Jay, his wife, his brother, and went to them, and another $23 million went to their firms. So you have Jay Sekulow, Gary Sekulow, Pam Sekulow, Adam Sekulow, Logan Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Regency Productions. Those are all part of CASE. So these are all different organizations that serve at ACLJ, which are run and owned by all these different people. So like Jay Sekulow, Gary Sekulow in that period made $1.2 million from ACLJ and made another $2.6 million because he's at CASE, which is the name of one of their businesses that they own, that serves a lot of the things that ACLJ does. So when you see things like that, do you sort of go, huh, does that give you a little pause? Or do you not care? I'm just curious when you hear numbers like this. Again, David Cerullo, maybe you're an Inspiration Network person, he made $3.8 million in 2017. Jay Sekulow in 2017 at ACLJ. Just ACLJ made $1.4 million. His wife as a spokesperson made $1 million. His brother as a CFO made just shy of $1 million. The director of Trinity Broadcasting Network, $751,000. Franklin Graham at the CEO of Samaritan's Purse, about $700,000. And the head of K-Love, Michael Novak, in 2017 made $580,000. Do you care? Does that bug you? Does it seem off? Are you like, I think something's wrong? Or, hey, that's fine. Those are big organizations, and it takes big money to hire the right people. But this is ministry doing things in the name of the Lord. So should you really be going by regular business market rates? Or perhaps you should be a little more, I don't know, restrained? You tell me. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, John, thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. Sorry to keep you on hold. Go ahead.
My noble brother, Steve. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you? Happy New Year.
Wonderful. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say who my ideal minister with salary would be and why, and that would be Rick Warren. Huge, huge mega church, many, many different, you know, places, and him and Kay have lived off of 10% of their income, huge income, and they have donated and invested in the Lord's kingdom 90% of their income for decades. To me, that is something that I admire. And that's really all I had to say.
Yeah, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing that, John. And somebody can reverse tithe, which is essentially what they're doing. That's a pretty awesome position to be in, to say the least.
No matter how much you make, it's what you do with it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. John, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And, you know, and that's, you go back to the Purpose-Driven Life, which is still one of the top-selling books of all time. And I remember back when this was all happening, I think this was definitely before I got on the radio, but Rick Warren returned all the money that the church had ever given him. And he's been making tons of money ever since because the purpose-driven life and all these other doors that open. And they've reversed tithe. They've lived off 10% and they've given away 90%. They gave the money back to the church. And when I first heard that, because I'm such a cynical person, I was like, well, perhaps you have your reward because you made that public. And maybe you shouldn't have done that. Maybe the right hand should know what the left hand is doing. But that's a great example of generosity and living below your means, even though you can make that much money, should you make that much money? Again, I don't have a problem with any Christian businessman, business owner, a businesswoman, successful salesperson, whatever, private industry, you got your own business, you make $3 million a year, it's fine. God's going to judge you on your heart, and he's going to judge you on your generosity, not your W-2. Now, you come over into the charity world, you come over into the ministry world and into the church world. Should we be known by the ability to have high salary? Or should we be more known by our restraint? Are you called to be a pauper? Hey, I shouldn't buy a new car, so I'm going to buy a used car. Well, how old of a used car are you going to buy? I dealt with this when we sold our little house painting company. I'm like, well, I sold my truck with the house painting company. I need to buy a car. I'm not going to buy a new car. That's a ripoff. And then what's our budget? I don't know. It's going to be, if it's like $17,000. So it's, okay, well, I sold a house painting company. I didn't sell Red Hat. Okay, so I didn't have cash coming out every year, all my ear. But there, so was that a good godly thing to do? Didn't buy new, bought used. Yeah, but maybe why'd you have to spend $17,000, Steve? Why didn't you spend 15? Why didn't you spend 10 and give the other 7 to ministry, Compassion International or whatever? Heck, why didn't you spend 5 and give the other 12,000 away? Do you think that's how we're measured? You got to be a broke pauper to be a good Christian? You can't make that case. It's about your heart. It's about your generosity. I'm talking about public perception and what Warren was talking about, accountability. Let's go to Andy, who's calling in from North Carolina. Andy, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm kind of divided in this because my flesh side wants to say, there's no way this dude, Caleb, should be making $500,000 a year. And then the other half of me says, well, why is that a big deal if the business is doing really well?
Yeah.
Then guess that's how much you make. I mean, if you're making big numbers, you should get paid big numbers, I guess, right?
If you just look at it in terms of economies of scale, yeah, it should be relative. It's economies of scale. You run a $100 million company and you make a $2 million a year. That's not outlandish. You run a $10 million company and you make $3 million a year. That is. It just depends on what you're talking about. That's a great point. Andy, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. So what do you think? 866-348-7884. We're getting into some people's business today here on the show. 866-34-TRUTH. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, getting into some people's business today. We've been talking about this list from Ministry Watch, with Warren Cole Smith, who was on the first half of the show. MinistryWatch.com is their website. And then going through this list of big money-making ministry leaders, and these are just the ones where it's publicly available. You can find out about it. So like Jay Sekulow at ACLJ in 2017 made $1.4 million. His wife, who was a spokesperson, made a little over $1 million. And his brother, the CFO, made $985,000. So between the three of them, last name Sekulow, they made about $3.4 million in 2017. Pretty good, right? Think you could live on that? Do you have a problem with it? I mean, here's a story that was done. Washington Post did a little digging. It's not that difficult, by the way. You can get all this stuff. If they file a 990, you're going to be able to get this information. They brought in nearly $230 million. This is ACLJ. I'm just using them as an example. 2011 to 2015, they brought in nearly $230 million. That's huge money. And then of that $230, $5.5 million went to Sekulow family members. And another $23 million went to the firms that they own and operate, which all are involved with the ministry and the radio show and all the products they put out and all that stuff. So it's all a big, happy family, right? And they got all these different organizations that serve the main organization. And it's, it's a lot of Sekulows in there. Jay and Gary and Pam and Adam and Logan and Jordan. And there's a lot of money flowing. But it's not just those guys. I mentioned K-Love earlier, the CEO of K-Love. Michael Novak in 2017. This is their own tax filings, $580,000. You have an issue with that? What if you found out your pastor's making 200 grand? What do you think about, you want to chime in on pastor pay? Do you think pastors should be making big money? The average earnings in America, median income in America, is about 60 grand a year. It's median, it's right in the middle. Do you think pastors should be about this? Should they be suffering? Or what if your pastor made 150K, 200K a year? You got a problem with that? Should we care? Are they better pastors if they're necessarily poor? Oh, man. Do you want them really that strapped so that they're worried about paying the bills? See? It's not as easy a topic as one might think. 866-348-7884 if you'd like to chime in here before we finish the hour. 866-348-7884. Ministry leaders and pastors making big bucks. What do you think about that? 866-34-TRUTH. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Stacy over in the beautiful state of Utah. Stacy, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I don't really think, like I said, God calls everybody to a life of poverty. But I, as a just a regular person, when you hear things like the K-Love, you know, the CEO of K-Love making that kind of money, I always think about myself driving down the road, listening to the pledge drive,
yeah,
and feeling guilty that I'm not spending, you know, donating my $30 a month. Like, people aren't going to be able to hear it and everything if I don't donate. And I think, how many little old ladies are sitting there on their Social Security pension, you know, scraping up a dime to send it in so that people can hear K-Love and stuff when... So some of that stuff is kind of hard to hear. I've never gone to a church where the pastor made a whole lot of money, so I don't have a lot to say about that. But I just know, like, as just ACLJ trying to, you know, when Pastor Saeed was imprisoned in Iran, I know, like I said, I just think, I don't know, I know it's probably just put on myself, but a lot of times I feel guilty that I'm not giving more, and I'm not giving more to things like that, because I want to see Pastor Saeed freed. But then when you hear that, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of legal work that can be done for that many millions of dollars. So I don't know, I guess I have a little trouble with that.
Yeah, and I think Ministry Watch's point, Warren's point when he was called in earlier, is, hey, we should at least have that information, and then if you've got a problem with it, if it's violating your conscience, you think that's not right, well, you make that decision as a donor to do with your money what you will. God's holding you responsible for it. And I think that's information we need to have. Ministry Watch wasn't necessarily saying, hey, this is wrong. If you run a big, giant $200 million a year organization, it takes big money to get that kind of talent that can run that.
Uh-huh.
And that's understandable. But when it's in a Christian ministry and you're relying on donors, 100% of that income is donors, is there a little check there? And on the K-Love thing, Stacey, I think that's a perfect example. I really appreciate you calling in and listening today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great afternoon. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Here's another one. This is from Indeed.com. I was just looking up pastor salaries. On one side, they said it was like 60 grand. This one says it's $40,000 a year, which sounds more accurate to me. And then they have actually... different pastor jobs and the salaries posted. 51 grand, 48 grand, 52 grand, 49 grand, 50 grand, 49 grand, stuff like that. And because most, remember, the average church in America, 94 people. Okay? So if you go to a church with 1,000 people, you're at a mega church relative to the country. And most churches, if you've got 1,000 people coming on Sunday to your church, I can pretty much guarantee you your pastor is making at least 100 grand, maybe 150. Does that bug you? Do you know? Do you want to know? Well, that's between you and the Lord and your church. But I think transparency is a big deal, and I think we need to deal with these things. Again, she mentioned that with the K-Love drive, the pledge drive, right? And it's like, hey, there in Roanoke Rapids, wherever, and you want to stay, you want to keep K-Love on the radio there, we need your donation. We need 10 more pledges of $30 a month. And I'm not necessarily picking on K-Love by itself, but what do you do with that? And you go, well, and plus we need to pay our CEO $580,000 this year. Would you all of a sudden hit the brakes? Would you be like, oh, what? The CEO of K-Love made $580,000 in 2017, and that was part of the pledge drive? Is that a problem? I mean, for me personally, it's a pretty big organization. There's a lot of moving parts. Blesses a lot of people. But is that above reproach? Is that giving the appearance of evil? Should we be known more for our restraint than our extravagance? Should it matter what people outside the organization and your board and your donors think? It's an interesting question, is it not? 866-348-7884 if you want to chime in before you run out of time, or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Donnie, who's calling in from right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Donnie, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Actually, it's Danny.
Danny, I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
That's okay. I don't have a problem with wealthy people at all. I don't have a problem with people who work for their money. I do have a problem with people who are greedy and take from other people and take advantage of people who are very generous.
Yeah.
And it seems in my small world, and I grew up in a very large, poor family. My parents are immigrants. It seems to me that the people with the least give the most, proportionally. And I have a problem with, I'll use my friend's pastor. He lives on a very expensive estate. He married a woman that her family owns hotels throughout the United States. And he's always asking for money, for money, for money, from people, from parishioners who don't have a lot, and they sacrifice to give. And I think that is wrong. I think it's selfish and greedy. And I think that when he stands before our judge, they're going to look at him and say, you had all this, and you were expecting other people to fund your church. And plus, did you people know that pastors, they get tax breaks? They don't have to pay taxes?
That's right.
So be very careful. My advice to people is give directly to people you know need money so you can see your money and the fruits of your labor. Don't trust don't give to organizations. Give to people. That's the best advice I can give people.
Yeah, got it. Danny, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Some great input. And does that mean organizations are all out? I don't think so, but you should be willing to invest. Remember a couple years back, this was here in North Carolina, Stephen Furtick, Elevation Church, nobody knows how much he makes. And down there, actually, Warren Smith was a part of that with World Magazine. But the local NBC station, I think it was NBC, they did a two-night special, and they called it The House That Stephen Built. So Stephen Furtick, the pastor of a massive church down there, he's a prolific, he writes a lot of books. Nobody knows how much money he makes, okay? He's got like a council of people from other churches, T.D. Jakes and people like that. Really fascinating story. But he built a house. It's about 16,000 square feet. And so that's why they called this expose The House That Stephen Built. And again, I'm going to come back to that original question. Should we be known for our restraint or for our extravagance? So I've had this conversation with some of my high school students in my ethics class. We did a whole day on poverty and wealth, a little bit, but mostly poverty. And I said, hey, what would you guys think if I showed up in a Porsche Boxster next week? Cool little two-door convertible Porsche, right? Okay. They go, well, you know, the guys are all like, oh, that's cool. And a few of them are like, I don't know if I should say anything. I don't want to be judgmental. And it's my teacher and he might get mad at me. I said, okay, so how many of you just are going to get a little bit of a, I don't know about that, Mr. Noble. Then I get a few hands that go up. And then I say, okay, what if you find out that it's like 5 or 6 years old? It's 8 years old. I can get a Porsche Boxster for $15,000. I paid more for the two-year-old Honda Accord that I drive now. I could get a Porsche Boxster for 15 grand. It's going to be 8 or 9, maybe 10 years old. Looks pretty cool. It's still a Porsche. Should I? Would that bug you? I'm tooling around. Christian radio guy. Hey, every once in a while, I'm asking people, hey, donate to the ministry. We're trying to get the word of God out there. We're trying to engage big subjects with a biblical worldview. Da-da-da-da-da. And does that matter? Now, for my wife and I, I'm like, come on, honey. People aren't good. And if they're going to judge me, that's their problem. And my wife will be, you get on the air and talk about a whole lot of things. I don't know that you want to open yourself up for that. Well, they don't know. It only cost me 15 grand. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but it's the appearance. And some people say the appearance doesn't matter. But we are supposed to be people that are above reproach. It's tough. Always look at the heart. You don't know the heart. But should a pastor live in a 16,000 square foot house? No. Why? Because that's not above reproach. And then later on, when they started pressing him about it, I think he said something like, well, only 8,000 square feet of it's actually heated. Bad answer. That's a bad answer. So, and maybe we shouldn't be paying so much attention to what other people are doing with their money. Let's make sure we pay attention to what we're doing with the money that we have. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Great topic. Appreciate Warren Smith calling in. And we'll just keep plugging through these things, trying to be closer to the Lord and apply his teachings. Anyway, God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.